You're listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. For more information and to support the show, head to wespeakcommon.com.
This week, we're talking about how to manage game time, how to spot when things are maybe going too slowly or too quickly, whether they've passed with a flash or they're dragging really hard in your D&D games. We'll talk about how to spot it and what to do when it happens. Welcome to We Speak Common. Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of the D&D podcast for everyone, because here we speak common. This is the show brought to you in partnership with the Dice Dungeon, your one-stop shop for all things D&D dice related. If you want yourself a gorgeous, functional, and rather weighty and probably could be used as a weapon set of metal D&D dice, they are the place to go. They've obviously got other things too, like resin dice, glass dice, crystal dice, D&D books, dice rolling trays. The list goes on and on. Check out their full wares by following the link in the description below, and you can use the code WESPEAKCOMMON to get 10% off your entire order. Your entire basket gets 10% off, so the more you spend, the more you save. Go and check out what they've got going on. They're wonderful guys. They've been supporting us for a while. We're also brought to you in partnership with Describe, spelled D-S-C-R-Y-B. Put .com on the end. That's the website. They have wordsmiths, professional, creative writers doing what is arguably one of the hardest parts of D&D, and that's painting a vivid imagination in yours and your players' minds. It's just like regular box text, but stuff that you can use in any game you've got going on. They have over 8,000 scenes and growing available of monsters, places, magic items, spells. They've got sea shanties, they've got maps, they've got so much more going on. Whatever your little mind can think of, that's our... that's how I like to think of it. If I can think of it, they've probably thought of it too. Check out what they've got going on following the link below. There's 500 scenes for free. The rest you get access to by subscribing using the code COMMON at checkout to get 10% off every month for the first 2 years. As always, we will talk at some point about our wonderful partners during this episode. But right now, I'm going to welcome back for actually like the second time quite recently, David. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Ben.
Do you feel like you're being told off if I call you David?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I find that the weird thing I find is that different people will call me either Dave or David.
Who tends to call you David?
People at work more.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking like, oh, it'll be in a professional manner.
Yeah.
No one ever calls me Benjamin. This is not true, actually. That's not true. People do call me Benjamin, but people don't call me Benjamin in my day-to-day life. Like, it tends to only be, like, if a friend might call me Benjamin.
Yeah.
Someone who has a relationship with me, not, like, just a random person. A random person might call me Benjamin.
I think it's because Benjamin's harder to say than David.
Yeah, we're all just lazy. That's what it is.
That's what it... genuinely, that's probably what it is.
I never used to like Benny either.
Exactly.
That's my reaction, right?
No. So
there was a girl in school that called me Benny, and it used to make me vomit in my mouth a little bit every time.
Yeah, that's gross.
And I don't like it. However, let's retract that statement, because I've been rewatching Supernatural, and I got to season 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
When they learn that purgatory is a thing. And
spoilers.
Come on. How old is this show?
Very old at this point, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm only watching it so that I can eventually get to the Scooby-Doo crossover and have all of the canon knowledge that I need to enjoy properly. But I digress. There is a vampire in it who's friendly, who's called Benny. Well, Benny. And I really like it said like that. So now I'm like,
okay, fair.
Benny. No, maybe
you're trying to move people towards that now. Is that your go-to thing?
Hey, so what do you go by? Do you go by Ben, Benjamin, Benny? Oh, no, it's Benny.
Benny in a professional capacity.
You have to say it like that. Benny, you know?
It's got to be in that, like, southern drawl.
Oh, I've just been hanging out with my friend Benny at the bar. Benny at the bar. That sounds like
Benny at the bar. That's a great band name.
That is a band name. Benny at the bar.
I love that. Yeah.
Okay. There's my music career.
Here we go.
It's gonna happen.
It's started.
How are you, my friend?
tired. We both discussed that we were very tired, but we're okay.
We both, so we said, oh, we'll record this at 7 tonight. And then we both just happened to log on at 6:30 and we've now started recording at 7:20.
Yep.
I've got a cup of tea. I got a blanket over my legs. Prepared. Like an old man.
Cozy lighting.
I've got the cozy lighting on in the flat. Yeah. I don't know if you can see.
I can.
I'm feeling very, I'm going to, when we're done here and I've saved all the files, I'm going to go and make myself some dinner.
Nice.
That might be a little bit disappointing now.
Likely.
Because I don't have a sweet potato.
Is it slander if you mention it?
Look, if Gusto, the food delivery order service, want to right their wrongs and have me praise them to the wonderful We Speak Common audience, then I will if they send me the sweet potato they owe me.
You deserve that sweet potato, then.
They owe me. My sweet potato and chickpea tagine is going to be just a chickpea tagine.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's going to be enough. I'm going to pop down to the co-op and see if they've got... if they haven't got sweet potatoes, what I might do is buy... This is not D&D related at all. No. Welcome to Thursday night with Ben and Dave, the spin-off show. I might buy just like a normal jacket potato, make the tagine and the couscous and just put that on top.
Oh yeah, that'd be good. I could see that.
I'll buy two potatoes and then I'll have one for lunch tomorrow. Sorted.
No, there we go. Who needs sweet potatoes from Gusto?
Although jacket potatoes is what I was going to have for dinner tomorrow night before I run Tomb of Horrors. Bringing it back to D&D going full circle. I'm running you Tomb of Horrors
tomorrow. Or you could just have a banana.
A banana for dinner.
According to Sam, that's the best thing to eat before.
Okay. Oh yes.
I was trying to relate to your other things, so you know, never mind. Don't worry about it.
Tomb of Horrors though. I'm too tired. You excited about Tomb of Horrors?
Very, very excited, yeah. It's gonna be good.
I'm quite excited because it's been a long I've run it 3 times now.
Mm-hmm.
And Tomb of Horrors is if you don't know, obviously a very famous D&D I'll call it a module because when it came out, it was a module. It's a funhouse.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, funhouse dungeon. Deadly.
Very.
The home tomb of Aserak inspired a lot of Tomb of Annihilation. It's good. You can only play it once, in my opinion. And you can only either run it or play it. And I chose to run it. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that I did because I get to bring other people in and watch them experience it. That's a lot of fun for me.
Have you found that it's different every time you've run it? Like, have people acted differently every time? Oh, no. Really?
People always make the same mistakes.
That's very interesting.
There's one particular, I'm not going to call it a trap because it's not a trap. There isn't a trigger. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, you step on a floor point and something happens.
Yeah.
It's very iconic.
Okay.
And that's all I'll say because I'm going to give you any tips. So anyone who has run or played in the Tomb of Horrors will probably be able to guess which one I'm talking about. It's quite early on and, it's one of those things where if you fall for it or if it gets you, it's your own fault. Because
because
it doesn't do anything. It's passive. Okay. You have to do everything. You essentially have to kill yourself. And it does just kill you.
I can feel like that's going to be me then, or Sam. I can see Sam doing that.
And that is why I have told you all to bring backup characters.
Yeah.
But no, it is an interesting one to run because I feel like everyone does make the same, not the same mistakes, but they make the same decisions and they do the same things. Like with the puzzles, they come to the same conclusions.
That's very funny.
It's entertaining.
Yeah.
I feel like a Serac at this point because I've run it so many times. I am the Lich King himself. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that because it's been a long time since I've run it.
Yeah, we've planned it for ages.
And I haven't run... That's not true. I ran some D&D a couple weeks ago. I haven't run any of my mainstay, I haven't run my campaign. I haven't played in the campaign I'm playing in for a month and a half.
Yeah.
Because of just life stuff getting in the way.
Various reasons,
I've been really burnt out recently anyway, so it's been a nice break. I haven't missed D&D, as sacrilegious as that is to say. So I'm looking forward to
break, though. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to getting back in. You've not had a big break though. You've been running D&D, haven't you?
Yeah. I ran a few one-shots, and then I ran my first part of my Wardeep campaign, which
isn't Wardeep, obviously.
No, Sean, but it kind of like wasn't a proper start, really, because everyone had to stop and start and stop and start. Mm-hmm. People weren't at home and stuff, so proper restart. Well, not restart, but continuation.
Yeah.
Next week.
Yeah, I think just go in with the go in knowing what was wrong. Mm-hmm. I think, like, yeah. I hate restarting things in D&D. Yeah. I hate doing that.
I don't think I'd ever restart from scratch. Like, I don't think that's my vibe.
There's only one time I've ever said, "Guys, can we retcon this completely?
Really?
Can we just pretend this didn't happen?" And I hated it.
Yeah, I'm not keen on the idea. It wasn't bad, ago. Like, it was just not the start I wanted as a DM, but I'm very picky, so...
No, I get that, because I'm like that too, and that's why I really... I sound like a bit of an arse when I set up games, and I'm like, just so you know, this is a serious game, and we're doing it this way, and this is the kind of thing I expect from you as a player, and it's like, oh, okay, it's taking it a bit seriously, try hard, Ben, and I'm like, no, I'm putting a lot of effort in.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, I'm doing this for my enjoyment too. So here's the kind of game we're going to run. But I think that's why session zeros are important. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
You got to be, there's the fun, jokey type of game. And then there's the, we're playing for a story.
Yeah.
And then there's that middle ground as well. But
yeah. Which normally we are somewhere in the middle ground, but it just wasn't, I mean, it probably was in a bad mood anyway to start with. I feel like I said to Chris that day, I'm in a bad mood today. Yeah. So that probably didn't help either. So yeah. It was just wasn't bad. It was just uneventful.
Have you listened to what is, as we're recording this week's episode of the podcast?
So as in today's episode that released, yes, I have listened to, I think I'm about halfway through.
Has any of that resonated? So that was about...
Yes and no.
When things just aren't going well.
It wasn't that it didn't go well. I think it's just everyone wasn't in it. Ali was here for it, but I think everyone else was busy at the time, really, or tired, or, and like I said, I wasn't in the best mood, so it just didn't work the way I imagined it originally.
The vibe wasn't right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we ended the session really early because it was just like wasn't happening. Because people were going on, like, we had a break and then we were going to have another break, and I was like, everyone was like, we'll just end it here. And I was like, yeah, completely. Yeah.
That leaves a bad taste in your mouth, doesn't
it?
I get that. Okay, well hopefully.
I just like to say I love all my players, but it was just I wasn't feeling it.
They ruined my masterpiece. No. Well, hopefully the next session then will be a bit more.
It will be. I think it will be. I think everyone's back to normal and we planned it, but it was just a weird day because it was like the funeral day as well. It was just a strange day.
Oh, yes. The day of mourning.
Yeah. So it was all just a bit of a weird day. It was a bank holiday. We started early and then people were having tea and stuff. And it was just like, there was a lot.
That's the thing as well. That's happened since we've spoken.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Are you okay? Right. Have you cried all of your tears, sir? Her Majesty the Queen.
No, I'm fine. I'm all right.
As a Brit through and through, have you cried? It's okay to cry, Dave.
I've not cried once, but not because I don't like the Queen, just because a lot of people have been very not even that. Like, I'm quite an emotional person, but just like people, a lot of people are fazed by, because it's a big thing. Like, I understand why people are upset by it. But I don't get upset easily by things that don't affect my actual life.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. I feel like death doesn't faze me anymore now after some of my life experiences.
I feel like that too. I think that's a lot. I've experienced a lot of death at a young age, so I think that probably is why I'm like, meh.
Yeah, me too. Oh, someone else has died. Okay.
Yeah.
People do that. This got really dark. Sorry.
Yeah.
What I was trying to say was, how have you felt? Because I felt like it was just a weird time
day.
In the UK.
Yeah, it's just been weird. I think that's like that day was just weird in general. I was very off that day.
Might be like this is going to sound really bad, but it felt like Christmas.
Yeah,
like you know how when everything is shut,
yeah,
and no one
shops
has anything on
at all.
No,
and the roads were dead. Like I drove, and it was dead.
You could get from Preston to Manchester. This is a really niche reference now. I'm a true Northerner now. Listen to me. You could get from Preston to Manchester in 20 minutes.
That is crazy.
Insane.
That is crazy.
Insane. But yeah, so, and like people were going out on family walks in the middle of the day. Like yeah. It was just a weird day.
I drove in the morning to go to Tiff's mum's because we were going around there to watch the funeral. And I know, it's, don't even start. So I left the house and I was like,
you said that as I drank tea.
such
a weird sentence.
I know,
I'm
it's
sorry.
So strange. And we went and I was like, this is weird. Like the roads were just, there was no one else on it. Mm. I'm not even joking.
Mm.
It was crazy.
Well, it's all said and done now.
Yeah.
Things are kind of back to normal now, I think.
Yeah, very much so. Everyone's kind of just getting on with it now.
Yeah, pretty much there. We have done the exact opposite of what we're going to talk about today.
we literally have.
Which is good time management. But it's been a nice catch up, and I hope that if you're listening to this and it's nice and cozy and autumnal, you have a cup of tea and you've enjoyed a little catch up chit chat.
Get that pumpkin spice latte down here.
Haven't had a pumpkin spice latte for at least 2 weeks.
We both haven't spoken. I haven't touched one since we spoke last.
Oh, that's the last one I had when we met
same.
Up.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I might. No.
Heartbreak.
No, they're so expensive.
Anyway. I know.
Let's talk about...
time management.
Time management in D&D. And specifically, what I mean by that is, for me, when you're prepping D&D, and then when you're in the game, in the session of Dungeons & Dragons... how do you make sure that the things that you're running and the things that you're putting in front of your players and that have been in front of your players for however long are there for the right amount of time?
Yeah.
So we're not talking pacing, although I feel like that word's going to come up a few times.
It will come up, yeah. Definitely.
Because when we talk about a session and we talk about how you manage what happens for how long, we're going to talk about like the flow and the pace and stuff like that.
Yes.
And time management is something that comes into pacing quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm thinking here are, obviously there's going to be sessions where you're like, well, this is a combat session. It's a big boss battle.
Yeah.
At least half of the session is going to be combat. Or maybe it's like, oh, they've just got to the city and it's going to be a big role play shopping session.
Yeah.
Like hardly any dice are going to be rolled. Fine. But thinking more of your average D&D session, how do you manage your time in that? And how do you do it well? And what do you do when it's going not well? That's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah. For me, I mean, I'm quite an impatient person anyway. I like to speed things along quite quickly, which isn't ideal for roleplay situations, which I have to behave myself and not butt in. Mm. But for combat and things like that, if I feel like it's dragging, I will just crack on and either... kill some people, scare some people, and then I kind of end it. Or they've run away because they're on half health or whatever. You know, like, just close it up nicely. Like, I mean, you and Sam spoke about this last one as well. Like, you close it up to a point where it makes sense rather than just going, it's dead now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to make it feel like it's happened organically, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
But... having run The Witcher for you, I've seen that in you, I think. And I see this in Ray when I run games for Ray quite a lot.
Me and Ray are very similar. I clock that when we play together. The way we run and play is definitely very, very similar.
Yeah. It's like he's also very good. And I think this is the balance. He's very good at like stepping back and letting the role play happen.
Yeah.
What's really good about having a player like that in the game at the table, like you and Ray, is that when you have a really role play heavy group, like I do, they can get stuck in the role play of like talking as their characters, trying to work out what they want to do in the game.
Yeah.
And it takes someone else, sometimes not the DM, I find, to yeah. step out of that and go, just out of character, what is our actual plan and what are we going to do? yeah. As players, not our characters, like, let's have a little quick discussion, because that then like gets yeah. the brain going again, instead of like, oh, my character is thinking this and it will say this and has this relationship with that person, so we'll disagree with them, and mm-hmm. it just pulls you out of that. So
yeah,
having a player who can get a bit impatient isn't always a bad thing.
Yeah.
As long as they know how to curb that
yeah,
for the
definitely.
Other player's enjoyment, which I think
helps being
a
DM, you learn to be able to step back.
Mm. As the DM, though, there are, and I'm guilty of this, there are times when I've gone, I don't have a lot for this session. It's a bit of a filler session
oh,
because
yeah.
we're waiting for another character to come back. And I know that there's just going to be role play heavy stuff mm-hmm. going on. So I'm just going to let them go.
Yeah,
and
that's
I'll just
really
sit
it.
Back and watch it for a bit. Which
your
is not good time management.
Your role play for it is my, in that case, I would be like, oh, here's a combat.
See, for me, combat takes so much mental, like, capacity.
Yeah.
Whereas role play, I can just do. So
yeah.
I'm like, give them someone to talk to for an hour. like,
yeah.
great. But when you're planning sessions, when you're planning, and I feel like this, maybe you, when you're in that sort of start of the campaign, or when you're in that one shot mentality where it's like, okay,
yeah.
I need to have a good bit of role play. I need to have a good combat encounter. I need to have this. I need to drop in a plot key. I need to have a cliffhanger. When you're building out a session in those typical ways,
yeah.
how do you keep those, how do you get all of those things in the session so that you're not halfway through the session and you go, oh shit, we're only going to do the first combat. We're not even going to get to the second one, let alone the third that I've prepared.
Well, I don't normally over prepare anyway, because I always find that I always like go, right, I'm going to need all these things, all these many things, and then kind of go, oh, actually, while I'm in game, I'm like, I've prepared two sessions for this,
mm-hmm.
which is fine as well. Like, that's great because it saves you the trouble next time. But if you are in a game where you want to progress onwards, you need to work out a way to. I think knowing your players as well is key, really. Mm-hmm. Because if your players want to be roleplaying, they want to roleplay for a long time, you need to allow that to happen at least a few times rather than just going, right, we're going. On to the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've always said this. It'll probably be on my gravestone, but every piece of advice is subjective to
yeah. you
know, every table is different. Know your own table and what they want. And also in this case, I think going off what's happened last session as well, like if you've just had a session that's full of combat, you're going to mm-hmm. want to maybe not fill it with big,
yeah.
huge combats and things. But So for me, what I do when I'm prepping, let's take my, I think the best examples are things that I think could take longer than they might. So I'll look
yeah.
at a scenario that I'm going to put in front of my players and I'll think, okay, how long do I think this will take? How long could it take? And how do I stop that from happening? And I do that
yeah.
with things like puzzles, combats, potential kind of like, argument area, roleplay
yeah,
areas
like where they that could happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Like where they're going to have to discuss and agree on something. And if they don't agree, or they can't really progress, things like that.
Yeah.
When they have to make a choice, basically. And what I tend to do is like, I'll look at a puzzle and I'm like, okay, how hard is this puzzle? How smart are my players? Okay.
Yeah.
I reckon this will take them probably 20 minutes to do. Combat wise, I look at combat, but okay, I've balanced it. I reckon this will take maybe 3 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
I know my players know their characters quite well. I've got a new player who's going to be a bit slower. So let's allocate an hour for this combat.
Yeah.
Which is a long time if that's like a big combat.
Yeah.
Other times I look at a combat and I go, oh, that'll take 10 minutes. And it takes two.
Yeah. Yeah. All depends
then,
on what they drop straight away, really. Like if they go and burst a big spell slot, then it's going to end very quickly.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? So because then I look at it and I go, okay, how can I make this go quicker and how can
mm-hmm.
I make this go longer if it's going
yeah,
too quickly?
Definitely.
Things like puzzles, I have to think, okay, what happens if the wizard used Passwall? You know?
I love Passwall as a wizard. I love it so much.
Dirty bastard. Dirty
I will
shit.
Teleport as well. So these are all these terrible things where I'm just a monster nightmare.
Are you bringing any of those to the Tomb of Horrors?
I don't think I am. I'm playing an Artificer to start, Artificer Rogue, so I'm just going
to
be
love that you
a
added
nightmare.
To start there.
Yeah, to start. Yeah.
To start with, I will die.
Your first serving of me is...
The first soul you'll be devouring is an Artificer. Yes, so it's like, okay, what do my players have that's going to make this thing go by really quickly? And and then the opposite of that is with puzzles. Okay, what if my resident note taker who has all of the answers to this puzzle in their notebook is absent this week? Or what if the person who's really smart and will get riddles straight away is not feeling too well and isn't firing on all cylinders? How do I alleviate that and make it a little bit easier if they're struggling and it's going on too long?
Tasha's has this in their puzzles part.
Yeah,
so it does. It says, so like, if it's going on too long, you can do an intelligence check or a wisdom check to do this, this, and this. This provides this information, which will help them, which is super handy.
Yeah, so that's the that's a really easy answer. And I think that, like, puzzles is a weird one because it doesn't, they don't tend to test your character stats. They tend to test you as a player.
The players, yeah.
And there are puzzles that can test both, but
I'm sure I'll find out soon.
I can't wait. It's going to be so good. But yes, with a puzzle or with something that's informational gathering or something like that, you can just use an in-game cheat is what I like to call it. Because I always feel like that's a little bit of a cheat. It's like, if my players are really struggling and, I don't know, maybe they've got to pick the right mosaic on a wall in a room with four different walls that are all painted up, and they would know that it's the one with the sun over the hill because that's the family crest of the local lawkeeper. But they haven't remembered that, or they haven't remembered to look through their notes or thought to look through their notes. I could be like, oh, now that you're looking over everything and you've been staring at these pictures for a while, do me a history check.
Let me remind for you.
You recognize something about this in one of the local families. You think maybe this is similar to their sigil, maybe it's an expanded version, you know, things like that. Just little prods in the right direction. With combat, it's trickier because it's like, it's that mechanical balancing, I find.
Which I think the trouble is, it's very hard in this situation when you're experienced DM, because you're gonna go, I do this innately, so it's hard to put it into words sometimes. But like you and Sam discussed, you can lower HP, add more people, you can just, this is where D&D Beyond fails, because I use D&D Beyond, and it's very difficult to add things on the fly. I mean, it takes time, you've got to like click into another area, but if you're using another system or like just using paper, it's so easy to just go, oh, another goblin runs out and just like savages you. I like, you know what else is fun is using, like, I mean, we've spoke about this before, but your surroundings to speed things up. So like, oh, they step on a bridge, it collapses, and they like plummet to the ground. Like, that's another one that's really good.
I love, one of my favorite combats I was in as a player, Joe was running a session where we were running along a bridge along like a perpendicular to on a mountainside, and there was an avalanche coming down.
Nice.
And we were having the combat, but the combat sparked the avalanche, and then we had like a round to get off this bridge, which is so very quickly then like, this combat's finishing, move on.
Go.
So yeah, environmental factors are a big one. And you can use that in, I find you can use environmental factors in a
every
lot of different senses. So like, oh, you're in a dungeon. Okay, well it starts to smell of sulfur, and because you know, a demon's being summoned or something, and so you need to act quicker, or like something that here it is that brings the pacing suddenly up a notch.
Yeah, I use this.
Players move quicker.
I use this in that first session. So they were talking to Cole, who is a Warforged, and they were discussing what happened to him, basically. And I was like, yeah, fireball just goes off and there's a wizard in the door. Move on. Chase scene, go.
Yeah. I mean, that's a bit ham-fisted, but we'll go for it.
That's the way to do it. That's how I roll.
I like it.
Blow up the tavern.
Suddenly, everything's on fire. What do you want to do? The ceiling falls in and you die.
You're all dead. Start again.
Yeah. So there are all these little tricks and tidbits to speed up or slow down something that's happening, but I think the real trick is to know when to use them.
Yeah.
Because it's easy for us to sit here and go, okay, well, when I plan, I think about how smart my players are, or I think about what powers they have and how strong they are and whether the things balance properly or whatever. That's really easy, and that's not advice, is it? That's common sense,
just
I think.
Usual DM things.
In the same way that it's like, well, you can end the combat if it's going on too long. You're the DM. You can say the puzzle has been, you can give them the answer. You know, like that's simple stuff. Yeah. The trick is noticing when something is dragging or if it's gone by too quickly. Mm-hmm. The second one, I think, is the harder one to recover.
Agreed,
from. So imagine you're sat at the table, you're the DM, you're in a combat, you're focused on tracking all these numbers, you're focused on who's coming up next, who's wearing the initiative order, what boss monster is going to jump in the next round because he's been summoned by the sound of swords clashing, blah, blah, blah. You've got all this stuff going through your mind, right? The thing you're looking for here is not to take your mind off of that and focus on every player and make sure they're all engaged, but it's just every now and then, just look at each player, just take a look around the table, virtual or real, either way, and just, what is everyone doing?
Yeah.
Are they intently listening, right?
Online, because especially if you only do voice, like, and if you don't do video, you hear those like vocal cues is very difficult.
It's easier if you know the people really well.
Yes, definitely.
But there are Wesley, bless his heart. Sometimes he'll jump onto Discord and we'll all be there. And I'll be like, Wesley, I'm not starting the session until you turn your camera on. And he's like, because he doesn't want to for the day. He's had a bad day or something. And I'm like, look, we need it. Because it's a level of connectivity in virtual D&D for us. And I advocate for cameras on when you're playing D&D. 100%. I know people have problems with it, but I think it opens up a realm of interaction between people, but
connecting
it's,
to everyone else at the table, majorly.
And like, I can look in your eyes, essentially. You know, like, not really, but kind of. I've got good at that through COVID. But have a scan, have a look, have a listen. If you can see them, are they looking at you? If they're not looking at you, what are they looking at? Are they looking at the character sheet? Is their turn coming up? Are they looking at their phone?
Yeah.
Are they looking away from the computer at something in the room?
Are they doodling?
Are they in their own realm? Listen to their voices. Do they sound excited? Do they sound engaged? Do they say, I'm just going to shoot my arrows at it. I'm just going to swing my sword four times because that's the most optimal thing
Eldritch
for me to do.
Eldritch Blast for the fifth time in the row.
I'll just sling a fireball. The trick is knowing when that's because it's dragging. Because there are times where I've been a wizard and I've gone, there's no point in me casting a spell right now. I'm just going to fireball. And that's not because the combat's dragging. It's just because right now it's not a good time to do something else. Yeah.
And again, knowing what your players are like, because, for example, I know quite a majority of my players like to fidget with stuff, like play with stuff. And I know Ali doodles because she's an incredible artist and she probably just makes something amazing in the background. You know, that's again comes back to just knowing, because if someone's doodling, it's difficult when you're like just running a random one shot for random people, because if someone's doodling, they could just be instantly doodling just to concentrate. And you're like, oh my God, you're doodling, I need to move on, when you actually don't. So I think, again, session zero, key, trying to get to know as many, or if you're a player, telling your DM, oh, I doodle because it helps me concentrate, it helps me focus and stuff.
Yeah, 100%. And not just going off one player either.
No, definitely.
Is one player not engaged, okay, note that, have a conversation mm-hmm. with them later.
Afterwards, yeah.
It's when there's lots of unengagement happening. Is that a word, unengagement?
We'll go with it.
Sure.
We shouldn't be asking either of us to this.
No. No, neither of us are the wordsmiths.
No.
But that's when I learned a new word recently.
Oh.
What is it? Reconcile? Hang on. This is a weird segue.
Reconciliation?
No. No. Don't be what is it? Recipient? No, what was it? It was a really good word, and it meant to be. It meant to be to have a disagreeing outlook towards me. It's like, don't be recontrite with me, or whatever the word was.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Someone's
gonna know it. Someone's gonna know. I did that thing where you go, hey Siri, define. No, Siri, don't actually talk to me. It's really annoying me now. Hang on.
You need to find it.
I need to now. Word that means to be argumentative.
It's like facetious, but not.
Yeah, but not. No, don't just give me the word argumentative. It's wreck something.
Now I'm intrigued.
That's really annoying, because when I heard it as well, I did that mental thing of being like, I need to remember that word. Like, that's this. A really good word.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if someone knows what word I'm talking about, then hit me up. But anyway, what was I saying? Don't just go off one person, go off everybody, like go off the group consensus and the feeling. So that's felt more combat orientated as an example, but it's the same with puzzles, and it's the same with role play. This is why I tend to try and do the trick of, okay, these two people are talking right now. I've got two other players. They're not involved in this role play scene. This role play scene's been going on for 5 minutes. I'll give them two more minutes to see where this conversation goes, and then I'm going to find a break. And in that break, I'm looking for like a cliffhanger in the conversation. And then I go, cool. Dave, what are you doing right now?
Yeah.
And instantly jump over and engage them and pull them back in.
That's
because
good.
I want all of my players to be
involved in it.
Involved. And I want all of them to enjoy watching. Because for me as a DM and as a player, watching those role play moments is like me watching a TV show.
Yeah.
And then I get to be involved with it later. So I want to bring them back in if they're not there.
Yeah.
So that's a trick, right? When you notice it, can you, if it's role play, can you quickly find out what someone else is doing? Even if they're in a different place, a different scene, even if I come to you, Dave, and you go, oh, I'm just at the bar having a drink. And I go, okay, cool. What are you drinking? You'd be like, whiskey. I'd be like, cool. Well, then an old man sits down next to you and he goes, and you have a little conversation. Like, it can be a nothing scene. Just give them a little something.
Yeah. Keep them involved in it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You talked about fidgeting.
Yes.
And it's a pet peeve of mine.
Is it?
One particular form of fidgeting.
Okay.
Stacking dice that aren't Dice Dungeon dice.
Okay.
No one else can see Dave. He's just put his head in his hands. Look, if you're going to do any form of fidgeting at my table, any form at all, it needs to be the form of making a dice tower. If you are making a dice tower out of dice, they have to be quality dice, because making a dice tower is a horrible habit to have, and I will kill you for it. Like, I will drive to your house and I will make you eat that D20 and the D4, actually. It's probably the sharper one.
Oh, yeah, that's more dangerous.
Dice Dungeon dice, I'll let you get away with it, because they're just so gorgeous, you know? You can head to the description of this episode below to head over to the link for the Dice Dungeon website, where you can peruse their full catalogue. Lots of wonderful sets of metal, resin, glass, crystal, every other material under the sun at this point. There's so many sets for you to choose from. My current favourite, because I haven't bought a set for myself, and I need to, because otherwise I'm going to be obsessed forever, are the dragon sets. They
look so nice.
Dice. I've held them in my hand, Dave. They're wonderful.
Did you see James's or something?
Yeah, someone else in my group has them as well.
Nice.
I don't remember who. but they're dice, but they're made out of little tiny dragons, and they're hollow. So they're beautifully metal, but they're like light metal, which is so rare to find. If you want to go and have a look, follow that link, have a little peruse. There's other things available alongside dice, like the D&D books that you know and love. Dave and I both have our copies of Adventures in Space. Oh, wait, you don't have yours?
No, I don't have it yet, but it's meant to be here. That's the key thing.
I can tell you, Dave, it's wonderful. It's you can just kind of see it on my webcam behind
me. You were showing me the other day, and I was deeply upset about it.
So nice. Yeah, mine did come before yours because I'm more important than you, clearly.
Apparently.
Even the Royal Mail think it. Have a look at their wares. Go through their wonderful catalogue of books, dice, bags, trays, everything you could think of. And if you do end up putting some things in your cart, use the code WESPEAKCOMMON at checkout. You'll get 10% off your entire order. So everything in your cart, not just one item. The best way as well to help those who are fidgeting with their Dice Dungeon dice to get, you know, back in the zone, brought back in, it's to give them a wonderful description that tells them exactly where their player is, their character is, what they're doing, and why they're there. So you can describe poetically them being ripped apart by a bear, for example, if they're in the
eaten
woods.
Eaten alive.
I bet that's a scene on Describe.
It probably is.
Head over to dscryb.com, type in the words mauled by a bear and see what comes up. I'm sure there'll be something. There'll definitely be something for a bear at the very least. They have over 8,000 scenes available for you to use right now in your games, whether they're homebrew or written adventure. They include monsters, locations, spells, items, sea shanties, and everything else under the sun, all written by wonderful creative writers, wordsmiths, poets, bards of the ages. Check out what they've got going on. There's 500 scenes and growing there that you can use for free right now in your games. And then there's subscription tiers for different levels for access to the growing, ever-expanding collection. If you want to get 10% off every month for the first 2 years that you're subscribed and bring your players back into the moment every single time, you can use the code COMMON at checkout. 10% off every month for the first 2 years that you are a subscriber. Again, link in the description below. Okay. So you're in your game. You've had a little look around.
Yep.
You're seeing the signs that people aren't quite engaged. They're not looking at the screen. They're not listening. They've just missed something. They didn't realize their turn was coming up. They haven't heard the question the NPC asked them. Maybe they're engaged, they're listening, but they look tired or they look a bit bored. Or maybe they sound less infused than normal. Like you're getting a vibe. That's the kind of, this is people reading, right? You're looking for those signs. Or the other one, which can be quite telling, is they're frustrated because they've been trying to achieve something. Maybe it's a puzzle or it's a combat or but they're trying to get up a specific piece of information, but they're not talking to the right NPC and they just don't realize it. And they're getting annoyed by the fact that they're not achieving their goal. You're looking for those signs.
Yeah.
That's the biggest sign that this situation has been dragging. It's been going on for too long. And that's when you need to start implementing tactics to move things on.
Bring that reminder in, or even the NPC could even like just be like nearby or send them a message. There's loads of options.
Mm. Yeah, and that's the easy bit, right? That's where we say like, oh, add a combat encounter. Oh, add in a monster. Oh, make them do an inspiration check, an intelligence check for a piece of info. You know, things like that. The ones that are harder to solve are when there's something like a puzzle or something, or not necessarily a puzzle, but like an air quotes encounter, not a combat, but an encounter that has a specific solution. It's like, okay, maybe start to think about how you can let them through with what they're trying to do, not what they have to do, things like that. The next scenario is that it's gone on too quickly, right? So maybe they've had a combat and the enemies died too quickly, or they got to a big door with a riddle on it and they knew the riddle already and they just gave you the answer. What do you do then, Dave?
I've had the riddle scenario before.
Haven't we?
They did that, and then I think I had one more puzzle behind it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to throw something else at them. And I was like, here's a trap. Deal with a trap. So you can just, like, traps are an easy one to add. Dead easy on the fly. There's a pitfall trap.
Pitfall is the go-to, isn't it? It's the easiest one. It's like, oh no, you've fallen in a pit.
Yeah, deal with it. Deal with the situation.
How do you make a pitfall trap interesting, though? Because I find that, like, oh, you fall in a 30-foot pit, and it's like, okay, well, I've got 10-foot of rope, and I've got some pittons, so we're going to climb down, and then we'll climb back up, and it's like over in a matter of minutes.
The thing is, you can make it an encounter that doesn't have to cause any damage or any issues with them. So if you just want to slow them down just so you can take a moment, you could say something like, the floor breaks away, revealing spikes below and a corpse of a previously deceased adventurer. Like, you could just have the animation of that breaking away and then visual of them seeing it. So, like, you almost step into it, but then you have to jump over, or, you know, you deal with that situation, but you make it a cinematic moment rather than you fall to your death and now you have to pull your dead friend's corpse off the spikes.
Which is always fun. Always fun.
It is,
yeah. I like that. That's a good answer. Thank you.
Yeah.
Things like, okay, how do you make a combat that's died, like immediately gone down quickly, last longer? They've come in, the paladin's instantly smited at level 5 and the person died in one hit. Okay, fine. Are you out on a street? Did the guards hear? Are the guards now coming?
This is it.
Are the
very scenario
coming?
Focused, like, depending on the situation you're in.
You're in a dungeon and you just killed a big zombie ogre. Cool. Well, there was another zombie ogre down the hall and he heard the noise and now he's coming, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And this one has twice as many hit points. You know,
he's a beefy
like
man.
Yeah. And I always find when I'm doing stuff like that, I need to give contextual clues. So if it is, oh, there's another zombie ogre. Okay, well, if they've just one hit crit one of them, it's going to be weird if there's no reason that this one is managing to survive all of the hits that the last one didn't. So it's like, okay, there's another one coming, but this one's twice the size and it's buff and it's got a third arm.
Yeah.
Not a euthanism. you know, all that kind of stuff. That tends to help make it feel a bit less cheesy.
Yeah, definitely. You adapt to it, but then also make it so it makes sense.
So planning for all of this stuff is really tricky, I think, because it starts to fall into that realm of over preparing.
Yeah, and it's so situational. Like, it could vary from one session. If you ran this, like, the same thing twice, one lot of people it could happen to, the next it probably won't.
Yeah. The last thing I want to talk about then for a bit is how to cope with it. Not like the here's how to make it longer, here's how to shorter, because we've done all that. But like the feeling is hard to cope with. I think,
yes,
particularly as a DM, because I feel like I feel like I failed a little bit when this happens.
It's the worst feeling in the world.
So sometimes, again, it depends, because I don't like to pull the curtain away and be like, oh, look, it's me, the wizard. you know, I like to be the Wizard of Oz, not the old man behind the curtain. So I don't like to say things like, oh, wow, you really blew past that encounter. Oh, my God. Sometimes that's okay.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes it's like, oh, wow, you really destroyed that boss.
Again, it comes back to what kind of game you run. Like, if you want to be immersed in it the entire thing, that's the last thing you want to be doing.
Exactly.
But if it's a jokey game, you know what? Go for it.
Yeah, what tone?
Yeah.
And those speedy ones, this is where it flips, right? This is where it's easier to end something that's dragging than to save something that's gone on too quickly.
Yes.
I think it's easier to cope after something has gone on too quickly than it is if something is dragging.
Definitely.
Because when something goes on too quickly, you just talk about it and you move. You just move.
Yeah. Right? You carry on. Yeah.
You keep that pace going.
Yeah.
When something's dragging, you're trying to beat the horse to get it to run.
Yeah.
And that's tricky because you need to get the enthusiasm back.
Yeah, it's really difficult.
I feel like a bit of this comes into what Sam and I talked about in our recent episode about like when things just go wrong. It's
recovering.
Like, have a break. Have a 5 minute, like, okay, like, bring it to a close, have a break, then come back in with the renewed gusto that you need.
Mm-hmm. Even if that breaks, just like you just step away and all have a chat for 5 minutes, like just about day to day life. I mean, that will help massively.
It's like a palate cleanser.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sometimes you need that, and to get you out of that frustrated headspace, yeah, or that deflated headspace. And this is both players and DM now, I think.
Yeah.
If I feel like I'm in a session and it's dragging and things aren't going well, my goal, if it's near the end of the session, if we've been playing for 3 hours already, it's like, okay, it's time to find a point to wrap up,
yeah,
this session. If it's like halfway through and I'm like, okay, no, I've got another hour and a half to go here, we've already had a break, like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I look for a cliffhanger, even, yeah, if I'm not going for a break. So my advice is to lean into those moments and start to pull on narrative threads. So if, yeah, it's a combat, it's like, oh, okay, Dave, you're making an attack, and you're like, yeah, I'm just going to swing my sword again. Here you go. And I'm like, okay, cool. You roll your d20 and you get a 16 or something, and you, mm-hmm, know that that's close, but maybe it's not close enough. I, as the DM, even though I'm feeling the drag, need to then describe that sword swing like it's the, yeah, best sword swing of your fucking life. Because if, yeah, I suddenly up the pace and bring in that tempo, which is, yeah, hard when no one else is doing it, really, yeah, difficult. If I do that, eventually, after I've done it a couple of times, everyone else is going to pick it up too.
Yeah.
So it's describing that attack and then maybe thinking about doing that thing where you describe it from another point of view. So I'm turning to Sam for his turn after yours. So you roll, you hit, you do your damage. I get all that, we get through the mechanical bit, and then I do the big describing.
Yeah.
I say, Sam, you're standing off to the side and you watch Dave come in with his claymore, and he swings down with a mighty huff, and you watch blood and dirt spray up in the air as his feet run along the floor, and, you know, describing all of those things.
Yeah.
And the best way to get that enthusiasm, rather than just upping your voice and your enthusiasm, is to go through the senses, right? What can you see, smell, yes, taste, touch, feel? Feel and touch the same thing. See, smell, hear, taste and touch,
hear,
right?
Taste, touch, yeah.
Sam, you taste the iron on your tongue as you bite down on that cut on your lip where you bit it after that soccer punch, and you smell the arid air in the desert as the sand kicks up and feels coarse against your cheeks, the, yeah, sweat dripping down off your head, and, you know, like, start going through that, you know,
kick
watch
the
Dave run
again.
Forward, yeah, really light that fuse,
yeah,
go into real descriptive detail to turn the pace up,
yeah,
there's that word again,
put on pace.
to just get that enthusiasm back and to, yeah, to pull everyone back in, because immediately everyone's gonna be like, oh shit, Ben started describing anything like,
yeah,
like, what's going like on? Maybe this is gonna end, or like, yeah, maybe it's a big, or something's gonna happen, like, what's going on? And they'll all start paying attention, and if they're
builds
not
all the tension again, yeah,
if they're not, you just go, hey Dave, pay attention. And he goes, what? I go, you ragamuffin, I'm running your D&D game here. And you go, oh yeah, sorry. And then, yeah, I start, exactly, describing in intense moments, and he's like, yeah, ah, shit, you know.
Yeah.
He being you in this
bring everyone back in again.
You ragamuffin.
Me. Apparently I am.
Scoundrel. Yeah, I don't know. I've talked a lot there. What are your thoughts?
I'm just trying to think. I had a thought and then I lost it because you were talking.
Sorry. I do that a lot.
It's all right. What was it now? That's going to really annoy me. Oh yes, that's what it was. It's slightly off topic, but
I like it.
When that sudden feeling can even happen in, like, if a lot of people have died, for example, if a lot of player deaths happen, or even one player death that's particularly bad, or an NPC, anything like that's remotely super serious, just taking that little break and then going, oh, just having a normal chat and taking yourself away from that is, I think, very crucial as well.
Mm.
I know that's off topic, but I thought it was quite a key thing to bring in.
No, it's a good point, because it's another thing that can pull a session down. And I guess we've kind of inadvertently segged into lesser time management and more like, yeah, if, because we were talking about something dragging because it's, yeah, taking too long, and now we're just talking about things dragging in general. But that's a good point, and it is something to bear with. So just to bring us back around to time management then, before we kind of cap things off. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the fact that managing game time in prep is as simple as just planning and over planning, right? How long is it going to take? How long might it take? What do I do to make it longer and shorter?
Yeah.
Just asking yourself those questions are going to help. In game, we've talked about how it's about reading the room. Is it dragging? Is it going too quickly? And then adjusting.
Yeah.
Are there any other things that come to your mind when we, when we're talking about time within
time
a session
itself?
Because I feel like
gone. So I'm going to my last, well, this current episode that's currently out, is Monster of the Week. It runs off a timer, so the whole session is timed, basically.
Yeah.
And the way, I mean, I've seen a lot of people do it differently. So you can run the entire, if it was like an adventure layout, you could run the entire adventure on a timer. But the way it runs is it starts at like basically daytime and then slowly gets darker and darker and hits like midnight. And that's where things happen throughout that. So you could use this in the sense of you can write down your time that you want to spend, the session time. Say you had 3 hours. You could say, right, within hour one, I need this to happen. And if the players don't do this or don't have any thing with it, this thing still happens. You'd obviously find an appropriate time to throw it in there. For example, like I said, they were talking to someone and then a wizard bursts through the door and tries to kill this person with a fireball. That was going to happen whether the situation happened with the players or not. So you can use that and then say, right, it's an hour in. I say, this thing happens. Players might not be aware of it, but it happens either way. The next thing happens, oh, you just found out about this. This also happens. And just progressing, with or without the players, you can progress the story along, and then they kind of catch up with you when they need to.
Yeah. It's... I've run D&D by the time of before.
Yeah.
And my issue is that it either works or it doesn't.
Yeah.
There's no in between. Like I've run Strahd Must Die tonight, and it's like, okay, you've got 4 hours to find all the things you need before Strahd comes to fight you. But I've run it where you pause the timer during combat, and I've run it where you don't pause the timer during combat.
Yeah.
And those are two very different experiences, because combats can take time,
a long time,
and that's why time slows down in D&D. We take turns during combat, so.
That's super fun. I love that idea, though. That's a me kind of game.
That's
speed everything through, yeah.
That's a topic we should talk about another day. I think there's something in that. The only other thing I can think of talking about when we talk about time management is the literal thing of how long should things take in D&D.
Yeah.
And that's not what we've talked about at all, and I don't think there's an answer to that.
No, it could vary. Like, for example, going back to the episode again today, because it's fresh in my mind, Sam was like, oh my god, this combat's taking 2 hours. I've run combats that take like 3 sessions. But because there's stuff going on and things happening all the time, new things and different things, it works still. Again, it comes back to if your players are engaged in that moment and then the story-driven reason for that combat.
Yeah, I mean, a 3-session combat sounds like my worst nightmare.
But again, it comes back to the table.
Yeah.
If you're at a very combat heavy table and don't do much roleplay, you need to fill those sessions with something.
Yeah. I think my closing statement is use the things we've talked about today, the reading of the people, the lifting things and slowing things down where you need to learn how fast 100%. And how quick and how slow things should happen in the game. How long should my combat be? How has it been so far?
Yeah.
Should they be, do you want them longer or shorter? Things like that.
Ask your players as well. Ask for feedback. That's also a great way to do it, yeah.
That's like pacing.
Yeah.
And session zero.
Pacing.
So they're always going to come up. Always ask for feedback. And if you can't take feedback, don't be a DM.
No.
Because you need to adjust yourself. I mean, obviously, you need to enjoy the game too.
Yeah.
But you need to adjust it so that your players are enjoying it.
The first time is rough, but after that, it gets better.
I tell James, he's a shit DM all the time.
It's not true.
I actually give him many, many compliments.
Yeah. I think we're all very friendly when we've DM'd for each other. before.
Yeah, I mean, it's helpful if you're getting feedback from someone who has DM'd before and has some competency DM, because they understand it.
That's why I love this. Sounds like a plug, but it's not. The Discord server is very DM heavy, and we always are very nice to each other about how to improve and how you could work on stuff. It's all very helpful.
And if you too would like to join that Discord server, you can do so by heading to the description below. There's a link to join us for free as a commoner. Yes, a commoner, because we speak commoner. Come on. Get with the bandwagon.
Get the pun.
It's a free space. Come and chat to us. And God, loads of people at this point. There's so many of us, and they're just chatting every day, talking about Dungeons and Dragons, and also just like stuff that's going on in our lives. We're a fun little community. If you want to get full access, if you want to get into the patron only area, if you want to be in the vibe zone, chatting away and listening to music, you want to join games that are happening in the server. If you want to talk about things like your characters, your worlds, show off minis and character art and create stuff and get advice, then the best way to get all of that access, and the only way really, is to join the Patreon. There's a link to that in the description below. It's the best way to support the network if you want to hear more shows, or if you just want to say, hey, do you know what? I've listened to over 200 hours of your voice, Ben. I want to chuck you a coin, Mr. Witcher. Then that is the way to do it, is the Patreon. There's different tiers. The lowest tier, the cheapest tier, gets you full Discord access to the community. And the highest tier gets you sat in the chair that Dave is in right now.
The big boy chair.
The big boy chair. You can come and chat to me about your D&D games and things that are happening and the advice that you have that you want to share. And you will be more than welcome. Of course, if that's not something you want to do, times are tough right now. That's fine. I totally get that. The best way to support the show outside of the Patreon is to, I mean, join the server for free anyway, because that's always there.
It's free.
But it's to share it with other D&D people around you, people who might like this content and might have interesting things to say and advice to give. We're on.
We've got two games running for Halloween. Me and Ali are running games.
Oh yeah, I've seen you talking about this in the server. I actually messaged my group recently and said, "Hey, because I run Strahd Must Die Tonight."
Yeah.
And last year I did Strahd Must Die Tonight in Space, and did it Spelljammery. And this year I was "Hey, how are we feeling about maybe not doing Strahd and doing something different this year?"
Ooh.
Which is sacrilegious. I mean, it's been 4 years of Strahd.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's a lot of Strahd.
And Wesley said, "Hey Ben, how do you feel about being a player this year?"
Oh boy!
So I'm excited for whatever. Cool. We need to get the planning going, because it's now.
Yeah. I'm excited for Wes to DM The Witcher as well.
It's going to be so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want to get involved in these games, if you want to get involved in the server, you know where to go. Description below. We're on Twitter at We Speak Common, Instagram at We Speak Common, Facebook We Speak Common Pod. If it's Reddit, if you see us being talked about, it's probably me, so come say hi. I love the number of DMs I get on Reddit that are like, "Hi ... Ben ... and I'm like, "Yes it is. Hi.
Is this you?"
is this Ben from We Speak Common? And I always imagine someone out there who isn't me getting a message like, who is Ben? Which is an amazing thought. It's probably never happened, but it's an amazing thought to have. Yeah, come say hi, come chat, and that's it. That's the episode. We're finished. Dave, thank you for joining me. This feels like it's been a bit of a rambly, like, just chat one.
Yeah, I feel like we've just talked a lot, but it's been fun. I've enjoyed it.
I've had my cup of tea. I've been sat in my blanket. I'm very content right now. Cool. Well, let's do me a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how content and happy with me you feel right now, tomorrow, when I murder you 3 times in a row.
Great, yeah. Cool. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of death. But I've built my artifice to be very mean to you also, so we'll see.
We'll see. Thank you very much, my friend. I'll chat to you soon.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your platform of choice and share us with a friend or D&D group near you. If you'd like to directly support the network and the production of new shows like the one you heard today, head to the description of this episode or our social media pages for a link to our Patreon page. You can connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at We Speak Common. The network theme is Street Dancing by Timecrawler82 and is held under a Creative Commons 4.0 license. You can find it on the Free Music Archive.